Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So you don't want to suffer? Too bad. You shouldn't have been a Christian. Honestly, that's what we've just learned today. Do not be surprised when the fiery trial comes upon you, because guess what? You're a Christian. Expect it, because God's going to send it. If you don't like that, too bad. You better prepare for it. It's better to be told when something is going to happen than let it surprise you and then you be filled with all manner of despair and anger, frustration, maybe even a hatred towards God. But God has hidden nothing from you. He has told you, you're not above the sun. You are called a son too. You are all not above your teacher, but you shall be made like him. And if they hated Christ, they will hate you. If they hated me, they are going to hate you. But guess what? When you suffer, rejoice. That's the first thing that I tell people when they're going through the midst of the fiery trial. Rejoice! God loves you. Look how much God loves you. He's refining you with fire. The Spirit of God rests upon you because you are suffering for the name of Christ. Blessed are you when others revile you and utter all sorts of false things against you for my namesake. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Maybe that's not what you expected. Maybe you wanted to be coddled in the midst of your suffering. You wanted someone to rock you like a mother rocks their child, to tell you that everything is going to be all right and that you have nothing to worry about in this life, that everybody is going to love you and you're going to grow up to be whatever you want to be. But that's never been true. You can't grow up to be whatever you want to be. Everything that happens in this life is full of sin. The only thing that remains consistent is God's faithfulness to you, to be with you in the midst of the fiery trial, to say that all of these things which happen to you are for your good and for the glory of God and His name. So how are you going to greet suffering? Because it's going to happen. The scriptures talk about two kinds of suffering here. First Peter lays them out side by side, so it's quite easy for us to see them. The suffering that we aren't really to rejoice in the same way as the suffering that I just spoke about, the suffering for the name of Christ, which I'll speak on more in a minute, is this suffering that Peter says, let us not suffer as like a murderer, or an evildoer, or one who is a thief, or a busybody in other people's matters. That is, there is a suffering that happens as a result of our sins. There are temporal consequences for our actions in this life. Yes, you may come to church and receive holy absolution, and before God, your sins are removed. They are gone. It truly is that way. But yet there remains in this life consequences to your actions, to your words, to the things that you even did not say or did not do. And you may suffer. But this suffering that God brings about because of your sin, which He does not withhold His hand against, is meant also for your good, so that you learn to repent of your sin, or that you realize the serious gravity and the nature that your sins do not just affect you. Most often, I can, within a few minutes, tell you how your sin has not just affected you, but it has affected your family or your future family, the society which you live in, your church and your church family, a whole cast, a number of things. In just a few minutes. we can actually handle the serious nature and gravity of whatever sin that you have committed. And so there are temporal consequences, and this is not the kind of suffering which God says that we ought to be rejoicing in, though it is for our good. No, this is a second kind of suffering. The suffering through which we bear the name of Christ, we confess the teachings of Christ, we uphold the sacred scriptures, and others reproach us. That is, they disapprove of us. They utter all sorts of evil things against us because they are in love with the world. They are in love with the darkness. Jesus writes, or it is written of Jesus, that he entered the world, the light entered into the world, but the people did not love the light, for they loved the darkness because they loved their sins. But we love the light. And who lights a lamp and then puts it under something to hide the light? We light a lamp so that it might give light to the whole house, that the whole household might be also illuminated. If we carry the light of Christ with us into the world, what's going to happen? People want to snuff out the light. And how do they do that? They don't make it easy for us. Christianity used to be praised in our nation. We started the schools. We started elder care. We started hospice care. We cared for all the sick and the needy. We offered ministries that went out to the poor and provided food and clothing, shelter. But now we handed these things all over to the government to do. Not that they do it better. They don't really care about the person. They don't attach any sort of value to spiritual care. They're just about turning over some sort of profit or keeping people under control. But when the church did all of these things, it was for the purpose of sharing the truth. That God has so richly blessed us in this world that we can suffer alongside one another. That we can enter into other people's poverty, not just in physical poverty, but also spiritual poverty, to comfort them with the comfort with which we have been comforted with. The church has a mission, and it happens in the midst of fiery trials. When we stand up to this day for the life of those who cannot speak for themselves, like the unborn, when you see the million people that are standing with life in the church and you rejoice with God, you rejoice with one another, there will be 10 times or 100 times more people railing against you. So I was reading Vicar's sermon today. That was one thing he spoke about. He's like, you know what they say? They say this is supposed to be for women's rights, that we would be behind abortion and all of these other things that lead to that. What rights? We entrust our lives to the God who is the creator of all things. Yes, even the creator of children in the midst of horrible situations like rape. But I still believe that it is the God who gave life in that situation. And a God who has blessed that life and can bless the people that are in the midst of that situation. Yes, that young girl or whoever it may be. That God can bring about something so much greater than what man would seek to take away by just ending in murder a life of a small child. But again, the world teaches us to escape suffering. So how could we ever stand alongside someone who is going through such a tragedy, such a horrific thing, when we don't want to suffer? When all the world considers that suffering is terrible, and they try and make medicines and programs and all of these other things to escape suffering. And yet some of the very best people that we look up to or that have mentored us in the past came through a great deal of suffering. In fact, the hymns which we have, and in fact, the hymn that we are going to end with, came from a man who had great suffering in his life. And isn't that how much of the church shines bright? It's not through these ease of days, but it's when everything falls apart around us, when everything seems to be crumbling around us, the church stands consistent. It rises above all of it, or it just stays the way it always has been, dependent upon God who has delivered us from this world. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, "Take heart. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart because I have overcome the world." We have nothing to fear. We really don't. Even the body that may be brought in to suffer all acts of violence, even unto death, we yet have nothing to worry about because the God that we believe in, the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, has risen from the dead. Not even one who can harm the body can take away from us our life. So we ought to consider it such a great gift, such a great honor, to consider the sufferings which we may bear for the name of Christ, confessing his doctrine, going even to the very standing at the Capitol building, saying that we wish to uphold life and its sanctity given by God, despite all of those who would make laws to end it. It matters not, for we do not stand with the world. We were chosen out of the world. And we are not looking for the love of the world. We have the love of God the Father through the Son. And everything that we might consider a great suffering here on this life is meant to lead us to greater faith in God. It's how he's drawing us closer to himself, bringing us through these fiery trials is so good for us. We might consider it as good as being a participant in the sufferings of the cross of Christ. Dear Christian, your life is not going to be easy. Yet anyone who suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. There is shame and there is guilt when we suffer on behalf of our sins because we justly deserve it. But when we stand for Christ, when we bear the truth of what is written in the scriptures, when we profess the goodness of God to our co-workers, to our friends, to our family, when we speak about the greatness of what God has done in baptizing us, in bestowing upon us the gift of his body and blood in the altar, in forgiving our sins with the words of absolution, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Let them utter all sorts of things, whatever they can think of. Let them call whatever good that we are doing evil. Let them shout it from the tops of the rooftop. Let them shout it until they are blue in the face. But don't be discouraged. God has said it will come. So as it comes, turn not to your own understanding, to your own strength, but pray God for his Holy Spirit to give you strength to stand and to endure the trial. Pray that God bless you with the peace that is beyond all understanding, that you may be able to endure all of it and come through to see the glory of God revealed on the last day. Because that's what our aim is. We know that when Christ comes again, his glory will be revealed and all the world will see. They will see the sons of God appear before them, and God shall confirm those things which this world has said were foolish, which this world has railed against for all of its time. But then they shall see. They shall see that God has truly blessed those who bore his name in this life and who even offered their life as a living sacrifice, confirming that truth which they believe. Let us suffer according to the will of God, and as we do so, commit our bodies and souls into the hands of God, who shall deliver us even from death. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord.